Nishos Hakol HaKodesh Hazeh. Today I want to talk about a subject, as you might have seen the title, psychotherapy when I turn in Aryan. Most people, when they hear the word psychotherapy, they think that this is for the abnormal. Hopefully today we'll dispel that myth.
Don't be so excited.
I recall there was a time someone once asked me, he said, tell me, is psychotherapy a nigrisha kunz that's here just to make money? So I said to him, if it's here to make money, it must be a Jewish kunz. So the reality is, today I want to give you a little short synopsis and a history of psychotherapy and explain its parallel in the Torah, in the halach, in the Torah way. Psychotherapy is in truth a generic term for someone who has intrusive thoughts, overwhelming emotions, and challenging disruptive behaviors. And the purpose of it is a talking therapy to help the person cope with those challenges. But in its history, it only started in the early 1900s, and it began with a famed psychiatrist called Sigmund Freud, who was actually Jewish but estranged and was brought up in a very secular way of life. And the way he founded what he referred to as psychoanalysis was his observation of his patients and his recognition that there were certain common themes that developed through the way his patients reacted to different challenges. Freud himself, based on that, developed a theory called, as we said, psychoanalysis, which involved three components. He referred to it as the id, the ego, and the superego. The id he referred to is the basic biology, the basic natural human instincts, desires. The superego he referred to were the significant others and society, and standing in the middle was the ego, the I, that had to find the balance of reality between the two opposing conflicts.
Start your day medically.
As always, Freud's disciples found a new way, and the behaviorists came along with their own theme, and that is that a person can only be understood by his behavior, what he does, how he acts. And Pavlov was famous for being able to do a scientific test in seeing that animals would respond to stimuli, which even, for example, if they were expecting their food, before they even, just as they heard the sound of the person who was about to provide them food, they already reacted to it. But it further got developed through person-centered therapy. Person-centered therapy was the idea that a person is constantly looking for self-actualization, to be able to become who he is capable of being. And these ideas, which I'm sure most of you are not here to hear all about psychotherapy, you will see that there is a great parallel to it. And I still find it important to explain in a few more details the theory of where these therapies began. And that is, starting with basic understanding of the nature of person. Is a person genetically, is that the decision, the decisive factor that makes a person who he is, who he was born from, who his parents were? Or is it nothing to do with that? Is it to do with nurture, the society, the schools that he goes to, the significant others in his life? are they the people who are conveying how this person will lead his life?
The Nafkamina.
That is a great Nafkamina.
Sorry, I'm also here.
The Nafkamina is simple. If a person was brought up, has genetic great talent, but yet he finds himself in company of others which is not conducive to normal practice in society, and he steals, and he gets caught by the police, and he's taken to court. The judge questions, is this person able to change, or is he not? So, this debate brought about the main argument of how to see the human being and develop practical skills in order to help a person with his challenges. Freud himself said that the very fact that we have opposing the ego, the id and the superego, because we have these opposing powers, in order to find the balance, a person creates what we refer to as defense mechanisms. What are defense mechanisms? Very simple, we see it throughout our lives. Rejection, compensation, things which in some way are there to help us deal with our choices, displacement, interjection. If you want an explanation to exactly what these defense mechanisms are, you can come to me afterwards. But what is the problem? The problem which Freud recognized was that when a person is constantly looking to try and find this balance through these defense mechanisms, if they become overused, they become a natural way of being. So for example, if a person constantly strengthens one talent, one attribute in order to hide another, then slowly but surely it creates what he referred to as anxiety, which is being overwhelmed. A person feels he's about to collapse under the weight. And therefore, his idea was that even if these defenses are normal, when overused, they can create problems. So what was Freud's approach to dealing with it? He believed that these are the faults, the unconscious desires which we are not aware of, the beliefs. And how do we attempt to take out and help the patient understand himself? He said, let's look at dreams. He held dreams with a railroad to the unconscious, and therefore he could be, as a psychotherapist, he could sit in a room with a client and mirror how the client was behaving and be able to feed that back, and thereby get insight into the nature and the challenges that this patient was experiencing. And then I'm saying quite clearly, I am giving you such a superficial overview for its necessity of what we will explain today. The behaviorists were completely different. They're what we would refer to as what we grew up in school. Positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement. You can change a person by training him to act in a certain way. And then finally, the person-centered approach, what was all about giving the person the opportunity to feel comfortable, to be able to self-express himself in a way that he would then be able to go on the road of self-actualization. So I have limited very much the three core therapies, and I've purposely not mentioned the therapy that I practice at, because otherwise most people start thinking I'm here to portray and to advertise myself freely, but that's not the case. But ultimately, there's over 50 other types of therapy that have developed as time has moved on. So if any of you have listened so far, you will realize that there is such a great parallel to Torah. Let us go to the history of Musa. Let's talk about Musa, let's understand it. Rabbi Shmuel Salanter, in the late 1800s, recognized that the Torah world, the yeshiva world, and I stress yeshiva world, were having to combat the challenges of the Haskalah, the Enlightenment movement. And he held, looking at Hasidus, that the only way to provide a balance and a way to overcome the philosophies that were being portrayed through media, and even in those days, and university was to introduce as a staple in yeshiva limud hamusar. The idea of limud hamusar, of Yisrael himself, had a more generic approach to Musa, and we will soon see what I mean by that. Rabbi Yisrael himself, we talk about his midas of Rabbi Yisrael. That is what anyone hears Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you think about his midas, the famous Maisa with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter when he's traveling on a train, and there's this, he's busy studying, learning Gemara, whatever he was learning, I'm not sure what he was learning, and there was this young man in the train who noticed Rabbi Yisrael was smoking, and he started making a zarash, and he said, you know, the smoke, the fumes, they're very disruptive. So Rabbi Yisrael put down the cigarette. Then he blamed Rabbi Yisrael for opening the window. And I'm sure that reminds of us other situations at home, who opened the window, who closed it. And Rabbi Yisrael closes the window. When they arrive in Vilna, there's throngs of people there to meet Rabbi Yisrael. And this young man asks what's going on, and he realizes what a mess he made and how he had disrespected one of the holiest rabbis. So obviously, he tried to find the place, the host of where Rabbi Yisrael was staying, which is by his son-in-law, Rabbi Eliezer, and knocked on the door, and with tears in his eyes, he begged the Rav for forgiveness. Rabbi Yisrael asked him, tell me, my dear son, why did you come here to Vilna? So he said to him, I came to Vilna because I just got married, and I've been learning Shechita to have a parnasa. And I've come here to be tested. He said, Meirdik, the person who actually tests for this Samich of Shechita is my son-in-law. Come tomorrow, I will make sure you get an appointment. He came, and after a few hours, Rabbi Yisrael turned to his son-in-law and said, Nu, how did it go? He said, I'm very sorry to tell you, Rabbi Yisrael, but this younger man doesn't really know the halachas. He's not proficient enough and is not capable of taking on such a role. So Rabbi Yisrael called in the younger man, and he said to him, don't worry, I will organize for you a teacher. And to cut the long story short, he taught him the halachas, and to be able to be proficient in Shechita. And finally, after a few months, he was tested, and he was ready to be a shechet. He even ensured that he got him a position so that he could start working. Before this young man left Vilna, he came to Rabbi Yisrael, and he said to Rabbi Yisrael, with tears in his eyes, he said, I understand one thing, Rabbi Yisrael, that you forgave me for how I treated you. What I don't understand is how come you went out your way to help me and get to where I have now achieved to becoming a proficient shaman. That I don't understand. I didn't deserve that at all. So Rabbi Yisrael responded and said, Yishalom, it is true that I forgave you immediately. But I then questioned to myself if I actually forgive you. It's very easy to say I forgive you, but that I actually mean it. So I then went out my way to help you, which proved my sincerity of truly forgiving you. Rabbi Yisrael's idea of Musa in Avodas Hamidus, and his Avo in Odom Lachavigri was legendary. But Musa did not stay stagnant. And his Talmidim, Rabbi Simcha Zissin Ziv, developed his new branch of Musa, which is known as the Kelm Mahalach. What is Kelm? Kelm focuses on Machshava, Hisboilus, thinking, developing Koyach Hatzir, being able to imagine different scenarios in order to overcome the challenges. Slabotka, by the altar of Nosson C. Finkel, he led a different branch of Musa, and that was what he referred to as Gadlus Ha'odom. And these we will explain, even though the time is limited. And finally, there was the Nevadika approach by Yosef Yosel Horovitz, who developed the Nevadik Mahalach, in which what he referred to was as storming the Neshama and Shiflus Ha'odom. But there were two very key factors and attributes which Rabbi Yosef Yosel focused on in Nevadik, which was Lishma and Bitachin. He lived by those traits. For those who read the history of the Levadica, Rabbi Yosef Yosef will know that initially he was a flower merchant. He sold flour. So, if we reflect on these Koichos HaMusa and these branches of Musa, what do we see? We see three components. What the Hasidus refers to as Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. In other terms, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. What that means is that there are the inner components of a person, his thought process. There is the Dibur, L'Ruach Memalala, Vayhi Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, L'Ruach Memalala, to speak. And finally, there is the Maisa, which we refer to Tikkun HaMitzvos. But there is one thing all these three branches of Musa, and today a child of Musa, they all agreed upon. And that was Mohus Ha'adam B'Tchilasa, the beginning and the essence of a human being. Because the Tachlis of Musa is one thing, to achieve Shleimus Ha'adam, to achieve perfection. But where do we start? At the beginning. At the beginning of it, we all agree. But Selim and Kim also saw Adam. A person was created with middles mashulos. Keshem shepartufein shaynis kach deyisein shaynis kach midoyisein shaynis. The Gemara in Shabbos explains this very clearly by explaining that if a person has the middah of eish, fire, he should become a shaychet and a moel. And we see this throughout. But besides the middos, the attributes a person is created with, genetically, there is also the Yetzer Hara. And I always find of Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a great story which depicts and explains to us the struggle between the Levavcha, the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hatov. He said, there's a story said over that there was a person called Gary who was standing at the coastal for the very first time in his life, and he was there at the wall bitterly crying, and he feels a tap on his shoulder. He turns around. He sees this venerable sage looking at him and saying, "My dear son, you look troubled. Can I offer you a course, 2 weeks, in which you will learn everything about your religion?" Gary was excited. He said, "Yes, 100%, I'd love to do it." And then, literally, from one moment to the next, he says, "But Rabbi, I've got my grandmother's birthday, I've got university coming." So Meir turned to him and said, "I'll tell you what, I'll offer you $3,000. "Is there?" He said, "I'll do it." "Fine, I'm happy to join." So Meir said, "Yeah, but what about all the past excuses you just gave me?" He says, "Nah, I'll sort them out. It's all right. I'll zoom my mother for her birthday, my grandmother for her birthday, etc." Every single excuse he gave, he had an answer. Results that I just simply do not understand. How could it be that suddenly you have found an answer to your questions? I found an answer to your excuses, which you couldn't find when you were so excited when I offered it to you in the first place, and you were excited to say yes, and then you couldn't find the excuses. The Gary responded, "I don't know." And Rav Noach said, "I will explain it to you." He said, "There is a guf and there is a neshama. Your neshama strives to grow and to be an Adam Hasholim. However, the problem is, the guf wants a part. What is in it for me? So when your neshama said, 'I'm willing to go and learn and study for 2 weeks,' it was your neshama talking. But your guf was an opposing factor, an opposing force. So I offered you $3,000 and your guf now realized there is something in it for me, you are willing to accept." The koyach of these two opposing powers of the Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov is something that we all agree with is necessary in order to develop Shemzal. However, I remember and recall Shlomo Volber, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in the Mir, when he used to give Sichas Musa, I remember telling him, heading us over, the following. He said, what does it mean, Betzelem Elokim, Oses HaAdam? What does it mean that Yedayid has a neshama? He said it means, listen carefully, that every Yid has a midah toiva which is pure to its core, like where it comes from, which is the source of Ribbono Shel Olam. That is what it means. So he said, in order for a person to be over on all the other midahs that we have, a person has to strengthen and develop his neshama, the midah toiva that he has, and through developing it, it will overflow to have an impact on all the other midas rais. That was how Rav Shlomo Volbe approached Shlomo's heart. But there was obviously the other approaches to this. Let's talk about Gadlus HaAdam of the Alter Sabbat. Famous Rabbeinu Yonah. In Shari HaAvodah, Rabbeinu Yonah says the following words. He says, the very first gate, I'll say it in English, that one must enter in his Avodas Hashem is to understand their own worth. Namely, recognizing their positive attributes and those of their forefathers, their greatness and importance in the eyes of the Creator. When a person thinks about what he's about to do, whether mitzvah or avera, when a person has inner desires which are pushing him one way or another, the first thing he should do is stand and think, who am I? And when a person does, then a person will appreciate what his value is, as it said in the beginning, and he won't come to sin. But there are other aspects to Gadlus HaAdam which were important and central to Sabbat Kamusim. And these refer to simply Hergel. Let's talk about the action of Hergel, behavior. The famous Rabbeinu Yonah. What's Rabbeinu Yonah say? Kim Sha'avar Adam Aveira, Vashonabar Nasis Loi Keheta. Rabbeinu Yonah goes weiter to say, he goes further and he says, Al Ha'isha of Aveira, a person who transgresses. Vashonabar, he repeats the same transgression. Mikan Ve'elach, even from now and onwards, Im Yashoy Blas Aveira, even if he only thinks to do an Aveira, Venenas Veloyosa. And something happened that he wasn't able to complete. He wasn't able to do the Aveira. Nevertheless, Asor Machshavtoi Vohoro Mitzarefis Lamaisa. His Machshove is Mitzaref Lamaisa. It's as if he committed that Aveira. The power of Hergel is the power of behavior in its exact form. And then you have what we refer to as Shiflus HaAdam. The Nevadikas focused on the idea that a person is as much as a person if he appreciates what his neshama is. Let me share with you a maisa, which is so apropos for today's mokim, the place of where I am speaking from. Moshe Yitzchok Segalovsky, he learned in the Yeshiva Nevada. And he was drafted into the Russian army. And the Alter told him, I don't know where you'll end up, but give me your word that wherever it is, you will establish me. Rav Moshe Segal was able to flee from the Russian army because he was always very particular about washing his hands before eating. And he insisted on finding a river or a stream. And therefore, a feather guard always had to go with him. When he saw that, in order that he shouldn't escape, but when he saw that Rav Moshe Segal was always just washing his hands and coming back, he thought, this guy's straight down the line. He'll always come back. I don't need to go with him. Obviously, the next time he never went with him, Rav Moshe Segal ran and escaped. He eventually made his way to Manchester, England, where he sat in there as a snoshim and machzika at Ashul, and he kept the Nevadik Yeshiva's schedule. The Rav of the Shul appointed him to be the community shofet. And as you know, the rest is history. that finally, after Rav Moshe Yitzchok, the father of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, served as Rosh Yeshiva until his passing in 1947. So, what do we have? We have the greatest parallel of psychotherapy in Musa. Machshava, the inner thoughts, the inner beliefs, the desires, the Torah and the Torah. The deeper understanding the human being as he is, which strives to being able to achieve and to grow and to become Korib to the Rebbeinu Shleilom. We have all those components. Psychotherapy was not a chesh. Kvar called Mom Harbe. And yes, I'm going just to Musa. But if you want me to go to the Torah, that's part two. But part one is that one thing we see. That what we hear about psychotherapy is in essence every growing Yid who wants to develop Shleimus HaOdom needs to work on personal development. And he has to understand what components he is made of and use the Tachsisei Milchama, the skills of the trade, to overcome the challenges that he experiences, whether they are intrusive thoughts, overwhelming emotions, or challenging disruptive. So you were asking me, what was I mechadish today in Chodesh Metzah? There has to be one chiddush which I can bring to you today from psychotherapy. And I will tell you that is. Whilst Olam HaMusa was a Sichus Musa, where the Mashgichim stood up and explained and desired the best of their time, needing to grow, psychotherapy brought out something new. And that was a one-to-one relationship. And there is no doubt, in my mind, and it should be in the same of your minds, that having a personal relationship with a Rebbe, a Rav, a Mashgiach, is a million times better than just sitting here and listening amongst a group of people. Because you don't get the personal relationship, and since Kishem Shemidi Sein Shainis, Hartzufein Shainis, every single person needs a unique approach in their own miyuchadik way in order to grow and become an Odom Hashem. So let's take the opportunity to appreciate the opportunity the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives us through psychotherapy, and let's hope our Rabbonim will take the opportunity that we can develop the relationship individually with our members, so we appreciate our achrayas responsibility is not just to stand there to give your ashes, but it is there to develop a relationship. Because it is only through the one-to-one that truly we will achieve Shleimus HaOdom. May the Rabbeinu Shel Olam bless us all and give us the siyata deshmaya to grow, to develop, and to achieve the true korba that we so much desire. And v'yachad we should be zeicha to binyan bayis shlishi from here.
Amen.